This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 19th of July, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Joining me today as co-host is Mr. Nathan Duncan. I have Mr. Sheldon Longley joining me in studio so that we can get an insight on the decision-making process of the BOC, the Bahamas Olympic Committee, and what transpired on the road to Paris. And I have to start the show Mr. Nolan Johnson. He's a tennis coach, and he's here to talk about a tennis clinic that's taking place in a few days, or this weekend possibly, we can find out. But I am stunned. I have a studio full of men. I thought today is the perfect day to talk about the best Bahamian sport in the world, rowing. You all just call it rowing. I call it rowing. But I can't row with these gentlemen this morning because Mr. Nolan Johnson just told me that he knew my father. So all manners are in place. No rowing today. You could say what you want. I mean, not the texters and callers. You can't say what you want. My producer on the button. But we got lots of stuff to talk about this morning. We're going to start. Mr. Duncan, how you doing? I missed you last week.
Yes. Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm glad you're back. Mr. Longley.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Bahamas.
Thank you for joining me. And Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, and good morning, Bahamas.
Now, tell us about this tennis clinic that's coming up. You're going to teach me how to keep my tennis clean? These young men, them, it's like a sport. They know how to keep their tennis clean. They could be running through the bush, right? They could be running on the side of your car. Their tennis don't ever get dirty. Is that what we're talking about today?
Not exactly, but what we really would like to talk about today is the development of tennis throughout the Bahamas.
Okay.
More than anything else.
Yes.
And how individuals who, if they have the time to come and really do what's necessary by volunteering their time, which is very difficult.
Absolutely. And so is there a specific event that you are calling for volunteers for? Are we speaking about growing the sport of tennis generally?
We're speaking about the growth and the development, or the development and growth of tennis throughout the Bahamas, not just in New Providence alone. As an example, last year, mm-hmm. November, last year, Emancipation Holiday, I was in Andras, and in South Andras, that is, and that was the first time the kids in South Andras was introduced to tennis.
Okay.
This year, I'm taking it a little further. I've had some good donations, and now we're taking equipment that it will stay in Andras for the kids for continual growth and development of tennis in the Bahamas.
Absolutely. This is wonderful. Now, South Andras.
South Andras.
Is there a community or government tennis court in South Andras, or are you partnering with one of the local resorts?
No, we're not partnering with a local resort. There's nothing in South Andras for tennis, but you have to improvise based on what you have. There is, I believe on every island, there's probably a number of what would be considered basketball courts.
Yes.
So we have portable tennis nets that we set up on the flat surface.
Okay.
And we're able to use that and just an open space, which is good. And that's better than nothing.
Yes,
once the game gets started. And it's anticipating that through that, the eyes of the community would open and look in a different direction and start to agitate to say, why can't we have a proper tennis court?
Right, and a tennis center. Mind you, I say, while we have a number of tourism corporate partners on these islands, we can also begin to establish relationships with them to see if community programs can gain access to their tennis courts for the purpose of, if at the very least,
absolutely.
Competition.
Absolutely. If not training. Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So when is this event going to take place in South Andres?
Well, hopefully, what we want to happen in South Andres is a program that would be year-round, okay. Not just a one-event thing.
All right.
On Monday, I was supposed to be putting the equipment and on the boat to take down because I was supposed to go. But I can't go. I can't make that trip because I'm involved with the Ministry of Youth and Sports at the Blue Hills Complex where we're conducting their tennis program for them right now among the other sports discipline that's happening there for these 4 weeks. So I thought it was... I thought it was only going to be 2 weeks because last year we did it 2 weeks, not taking into consideration Bahama Games for last year.
Right.
So they didn't do the 4 weeks in July. They only do two. So here we no Bahama Games, so we
want to expand it back to the 4 weeks.
Back to the 4 weeks. So I'm hoping to go to Andres right after this is over, take all of the equipment down and... get started.
Let's talk contact information for people who would like to... learn more about the program and determine how and when they can volunteer, and B, for people who would like to sponsor or offer sort of technical or in-kind support to the program.
Well, you can always reach me via email, and my email address is njohnsonsr, that's just S-R, @gmail.com, or you can reach me by cell, 468-9187.
468-9187. And that's N.
Johnson Sr.
S-R.
S-R. At gmail.com. Yes.
I'm going to steal a phrase from another popular radio. This is powerful.
Thank you.
I love it. I'm from Andres. I'm from Fresh Creek.
Okay.
Well, I claim I'm from Fresh Creek. My Grammy, Corinne Mitchell from Fresh Creek, and her family, right? And that, who's my family. I'm from a long line of Chikchani practitioners, Mr. Duncan. I see you looking at me like, what's this woman talking about? How close to Bearing Point is your program?
Well, it's a long way. But as we speak now, we are coming together with Androsians.
Yes.
Androsians. And we're trying to... see how we can develop and promote not just tennis, but basically all the sports. We know to a point the school has track and field,
mm-hmm.
So we don't want to interfere with track and field. We can try and see how we can maybe get some golf, because the last conversation we had a few days ago, we were talking about left-handed golf clubs. Tennis is on the move right now. Softball, baseball. So we're not just only trying just...
to build tennis.
We're just trying to build sport so that when it comes, and when you say, as an example, Bahama Games, you said Andres, it has what I call the total Andres flavor.
Yes, absolutely. I mentioned Bearing Point because I am aware of a community activist in Bearing Point by the name of Mr. Cornelius McKinney. He organized the Bearing Point Fish Fry. And he was also instrumental in the formation or revitalization of the Men's Association in Bearings Point. And I think that those residents have been energized and are actually looking for projects to support so that they can continue with the momentum that they've gained. And he can also connect you with a number of community partners that may be interested in participating in this year-round program.
That's possible. Right now, we have two individuals from what we call the North, which okay. would be from Bearing Point to Morgan's Bluff.
Yes.
In the name of Mr. Clare and Mr. Hensey.
Okay.
And these men are doing most of the work mm-hmm. from the North.
Okay.
And Mr. Hamilton, myself, and Mr. Brown, we'll be probably doing most of the work from from Mangrove Key to Mars Bay.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely. We're going to transition in a moment, so let me repeat that contact information. We're talking to Mr. Nolan Johnson, who is organizing a sports enhancement program for South Andres.
Andres General.
Andres General.
Yes, the whole of Andres.
That's good, because I am fresh Greek and I'm jealous already. they focus initially on a tennis enhancement, but the program is more than just tennis.
Yes.
To contact Mr. Johnson to determine how and when you can volunteer or how you can support the program, you can reach him at njohnsonsr, that's njohnsonsr, @gmail.com. Or you can reach out via telephone to 468-9187. Now, Mr. Johnson, we're going to shift to Mr. Sheldon Longley, because we're talking Olympics, but I want to start with another young people discussion. Right now, the country's eyes are focused on Team Bahamas, the road to Paris, and the Bahamas Olympic team. Many of us are torn. Many of us have a lot of tension in our hearts because we've reached a point where we have too many athletes to send to Paris. So first of all, let's celebrate. We have a whole bunch of athletes we could send to Paris, right? And we've had this unfortunate situation where two athletes, I guess, have been made to feel or could be left feeling that one or the other has been disregarded. And so I realized that a lot of these sentiments that the public have may be due to an actual lack of understanding of the processes involved with the selection of the Bahamas Olympic team. So I've asked Mr. Sheldon Longley, who is sports reporter for Nassau Guardian newspaper, but also a member and representative of the B3As. He may be speaking in his official capacity with the B3As, but certainly he is far more familiar with the rules of the B3As and the BOC than I am. After talking to him a bit, I'm very grateful that he could come and explain for us the process, what it is and what it is we witnessed and why decisions were made the way they were. Now, he can't necessarily give us the rationale, but he can explain the rules and we could get a better sense of what's happening. Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Longley.
Good morning. Good morning, Bahamas again. And that is correct. When it comes to the Olympics, any other major international meet, we would always want to prioritize our national championships as the preeminent qualifier, for our athletes. And the rule is in place for the B2As in terms of the top three for the relays. In this instance, the mixed relay would be the top three in each gender. If it was a normal relay, like the men or women 4x4, then we could go up to 5 or 6 athletes, But whereas the mixed relay would be the top three in each gender. So that has always been the rule that has been placed.
For the B3As?
Yes, for the B2As. Now, the BOC doesn't necessarily have to adopt those rules. They have their own rules. That's a separate body, right? And they govern the Olympic Games. So they have the final say when it comes to the Olympic Games. But as far as we are concerned, right, we appreciate what Shania did. She did a tremendous job. She served the country well. She was available when we called upon her. But we always knew from the break that it would come down to the top three at our national championships in terms of representing the Bahamas in the mixed 4x400-meter relay at the Olympic Games.
In terms of the B3A's recommendation, list that they are going to put forward.
In terms of our recommendation. That's all we can do, make recommendations.
Yes.
It was up to the BOC to finalize the list. That's why I thought the report in the beginning initially was kind of premature. Let's just call it what it was. It was bad journalism. Right.
So, because watch this. I saw a clip. I know what I saw was just an excerpt from a broader conversation.
Right.
I know there were questions that opened the conversation, and I'm sure there were questions that closed the conversation. Mm-hmm. But what I saw on the news, coming from a reputable news site, was just a clip. And so some context may have been lost. Mr. Archer may have actually explained the rules.
He explained it properly.
Prior.
He did it properly.
Right, to the clip.
But it was bad journalism because not only did you go to the wrong source for the information, only the BOC could confirm that team. But then you could turn around the next day and report that Shania is not going to the Olympics. Yeah. Never in that interview did Mr. Archer say that she's not going.
True.
He just said it is our recommendation that we're going to go with the top three for my national championships as per the rules and regulations of the B2AAs.
I got you.
Right? So only the BOC could confirm the team.
All right.
Right now, I do think Mr. Archer should have said that, you know, well, it's up to the BOC. We can't make a determination.
Just to emphasize it.
Yes, you know, because, I mean, certain news media outlets, they will spin the story.
Right. And understanding that the vast majority of us in the public domain are not aware of the specific rules governing the space.
Exactly. So Mr. Archer probably misspoke a little bit. He probably should have just said, you know, well, it's a BOC team. Mm-hmm. They make final determination. They will ratify the team in due time, in due order, right? And we knew what our recommendations were. You know, it was leaked out of our private in-house meeting, you know, and it went to World Athletics website. Well, you know, you can't keep anything in this day and age of social media.
Right.
You can't keep anything in-house. It's going to be leaked eventually. Our recommendation was for LaCathia Cooper, who would have been the third place finisher in the women's 400 meters at the national championships.
And she would have been placed, your recommendation would have had her as the reserve, the third seed,
yes,
essentially.
Yes, the top three, which would have been Javonia Valcourt, Quincy Penn, and LaCathia Cooper.
Now, let me ask you a technical question, and this may actually be a BOC determination.
Mm-hmm.
Three female runners.
Yes.
First two in the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Have been selected. They've been identified as the first. Do you identify them as the runners and the reserve, technically or formally?
No, that's up to the coaches in Paris.
Right, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, they would make the determination. But in most cases, normally, it would be the top two finishers at the Nationals who will actually get on the track for the mixed relay.
Okay.
Right, so in this instance, it would be Javonia and Quincy Penn who would actually run the relay, and LaCathia would be the reserve. But like I said, that would be up to the coaches in Paris.
Okay.
They made that determination.
Right. And after observing, watching form in practice on the ground in Paris.
Yes. And that's why head-to-head competition is so vital, so important.
So the coaches also can observe not just them competing against other teams, but competing against each other.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
I just want to say, so there's another article here from the 17th. LaCathia upset she did not make the team. I just want to start off by saying this. LaCathia Cooper's had a great attitude about the whole thing.
Tremendous.
Yeah. She's had a wonderful attitude about the whole thing, and this contention shouldn't sit with the athletes themselves. When athletes perform at this level, you expect them to fight for the track. They've been dreaming about going here.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the general public, you know, let us not misconstrue a commitment to the discipline, a fierce desire to compete as a bad attitude. Mm-hmm. In fact, that same energy is what drives them on the track, right?
I thought she's been fantastic. I've listened to all of her interviews. You know, she answered it responsibly and how she should answer it. You know, she said from the break, well, I wanted Shania to go. I want Shania to go, right?
Yes.
But I feel as if I qualify being the third place finisher.
Yes.
You know, that's all right.
Absolutely.
You know, she finished third, she deserves to go. So they can't blame her for that.
In that same article, we have a Mr. Kawhi Culmer.
Kaiwan.
Yes.
He's Culmer. Athlete's representative.
And what's the role of an athlete's representative?
They sit on the BAAA board as the voice for the athletes.
Okay. It's like a patient's advocate sort of in the hospital.
Yeah, that was a decision that was probably made about two or three terms ago to allow an athlete's representative to sit on the board. You know, first it was Debbie Ferguson, and then we moved into Levon Sands. Anthony Strawn was, I think, the immediate past athlete representative. Now you have Kyron Kilmore.
Okay.
You know.
Absolutely. Now, in this article, what called out to me was, I think, a need for a space for more sports talk. Right? More sports talk. A general sports, maybe podcast or radio show, 2-hour radio show. But so when issues like this arise, there's a specific space where people can go to for clarity.
More constructive sports talk.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
You know, I say all the time, it's more important to be correct than to be first.
Yes.
Right? Sometimes as journalists, and sometimes we make the same mistake too in the National Guardian, where we are so much in a rush to be first, you know, that we don't do enough research. Well, speaking for myself, I always do research, you know, but it's so important to get the correct information out. As opposed to just trying to be, you know, first.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a break. When we get back from the break, we'll just talk a little bit more about the road to Paris,
mm-hmm.
The track athletes, since I have you here, Mr. Longley, talk a bit about the track athletes, what to expect when competition starts. And then, I mean, we got lots of sports. We've got VJ, we've got the WNBA All-Star Weekend coming up. We've got women's Team USA.
We got sailing.
And Caitlin Clark. We got sailing. We've got men's basketball team USA as well, and what they've been doing. And then I want to ask you, Mr. Longley, can we draw parallels from this Shania Cooper, Adley Cooper discussion here to the Caitlin Clark Team USA discussion in the United States, where numbers, large numbers of people protested her lack of inclusion? You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We're going quickly to this break. We'll be right back.
Try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
What are you talking about? Any Christmas yet?
The kids are going back to school. So pick up your copy of the Nassau Guardian's Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over, and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassau Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the two-insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassau Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Every business is likely to encounter challenges when managing its workforce. Don't let human resources and payroll management be two of them. At TriBlock HR, our customer software easily keeps track of all employee salaries, leave pay, bonuses, gratuities, and all other payroll needs. Our HR management software is easy to operate, and there's no staff complement too big or small. Allow your business to thrive using TriBlock HR. Contact us at 812-2195 or visit our website, triblockhr.com. TriBlock HR, effective HR and payroll software for all.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter 1. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
The Guardian Media Group has your ticket to Paris.
On your marks, get set.
Join the Guardian Media Group, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio 96.9, and Hot 91 FM, and follow Team Bahamas from Paradise to Paris. Live comprehensive updates on Team Bahamas every day during the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are your ticket to Paris. Nassau Guardian Sports Editor Sheldon Longley will be trackside, bringing you closest to our athletes in their quest for gold. From Paradise to Paris. the 2024 Summer Olympics. Live updates brought to you by gold sponsors, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Jimmy Wines and Spirits, distributors of Refreshing Sands Beer, silver sponsor Executive Motors, and the bronze sponsors Hertz Rent a Car, Nagico Insurance, Bay Street Garage, Nassau Motors, your Chevy and Honda dealers, and New Life Natural. Let the games begin.
That was a fantastic last leg by Ramon Miller of the Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on the Sports Friday. I've got Nathan Duncan joining me in studio, Mr. Sheldon Longley and Mr. Nolan Johnson. And we are talking a whole bunch of stuff just now. So here's the transition, right? We are sitting here, road to Paris, Team Bahamas, having, I think, a necessary discussion about the dynamics of track and field, athletics, and the decision-making process, the structural, some of the structural issues. And then I realized that we got some parallels I think we could draw, and I have some experts in the room, in the break. Mr. Johnson and Mr. Duncan revealed the basketball and sports expertise to me for this particular subject. And so here's the first question. Shania and LaCathia, New Providence, Bahamas. Yes. Is this similar to Caitlin Clark and Team USA, where large numbers of people protested the non-inclusion of Caitlin Clark on Team USA team? Now, the Team USA decision makers said, our decision is simple. We are building the strongest team and not the most marketable team, but the strongest team. Right, then we go to men's Team USA men's basketball, where we see both Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown were not included on Team USA. Jaylen Brown being the
Finals MVP,
Celtics being the champions. Now, Longley, you said how many players from the Celtics on the team?
You know, three, and none of them is the Finals MVP, which is kind of odd,
right?
You know.
I can understand the contention, not necessarily the decision, but I can understand the contention around Kyrie Irving. We've already settled this anti-Semitic debate. Kyrie was, I'm not going to use the word attacked, but he was penalized for sharing an image of a book or a movie that was deemed anti-Semitic. That documentary is still available on Amazon. Right, they're still selling it. Nobody's called for it to be, nobody's responded to calls for it to be removed from Amazon. So I could even understand a U.S. government official coming to Team USA and saying, I know you may be inclined to put a Kyrie Irving on the team, but we think that there is a potential risk in the global security space. And his inclusion on the team may drive fanatics, I can use the word lunatics, but fanatics, to engage in some sort of act of terrorism around the games. So I could understand his non-inclusion, but how could you not include Jaylen Brown?
I think it's all about Nike. You got to remember Nike is the chief sponsor of Team USA for the Olympics. I think Kyrie was drawn by Nike because of his stance, and then Jaylen Brown supported him. And that's the main reason why neither of them are on the team. It's all about image and sponsorship dollars. You know, Nike don't want a situation that happened at, I think it was 92 Olympics with the Dream Team, when Jordan had a private sponsor in Nike, but the team was actually sponsored by Reebok. And I don't know if you remembered, but he actually covered up the Reebok flag on the medal stand. He covered up the Reebok sign on the medal stand with the American flag.
Wow.
Nike don't want another situation like that.
Well, let me.
There's million dollars attached to this.
You're right. Nike has some influence in the sporting world. I watched a reel last night about Michael Jordan's sons. And one of his sons, I think it is, one of his sons.
Jeffrey.
The team that he was playing for changed their sponsor from another team to Nike.
Maybe Marcus.
Because Jordan's son, refused to wear the team shoe.
Yeah, I think it was Marcus, and I'm trying to remember the school. It might be Central Florida. I'm not sure.
It's interesting, yeah. Right? For the women's team, they said right out, this is not about marketability. This is about putting the best team forward.
Yes.
But for the men's team, is it fair to say there's so much talent available to win that we can still take into question the, you know, take marketability into question and field a winning team?
The world of basketball has changed. Americans realize they just can't take just a star team to the Olympics and win the gold anymore. They have to take a complete superstar team, right? And if they take their best, you know, they're the favorites to win. But they can't come half-stepping.
All right.
Right. You have other nations out there that are playing really, really good basketball.
Now, so, Duncan, you want to say something? Because what I wanted to ask, well, then what is AD doing on the team? What is Anthony Davis doing on the team if they take in their best?
It's a selection-based process. You know, neither the men nor the women are tryouts. You know, they just pick who they feel the 12 best players in America.
Is it also about who will play best together?
I say what you want about AD, but AD is a top 5 center in the league, you know, in my view. You know, so I think he's worthy of being on the team. But there's no excuse for leaving Jaylen Brown off. You know, I'm a Celtic, so I'm happy 3 Celtics are on the team.
Right.
But, you know, I would want Jaylen Brown to be on the team. You know, you can't tell me he's not one of the best 12 players in the U.S. And the same with Kyrie Irving.
Now, another question. Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid is on Team USA.
Yes.
Embiid is a multinational player, right? He's of African descent. I can't remember the name. The country escapes me. I don't know if it's Senegal.
Cameroon,
right? Cameroon. I read, but couldn't find in what I consider a reputable source, that Cameroon denounced his citizenship because he's playing with Team USA.
I heard that, but I didn't see it on, like you, I didn't see it on a reputable source.
Yeah.
But I did hear that, so I cannot say that as a fact.
Because don't you have to be a U.S. citizen to play on Team USA?
You do. And I think he has dual citizenship.
Ah, okay.
You know, he's been working in the U.S. long enough. He's been playing professional basketball in the U.S. long enough. So I'm of the view that he has dual citizenship. But it's just interesting that the U.S. would benefit from something like that. And then the same way that they benefit of that, they would turn around and then deny Klay Thompson a release so that he could play for Team Bahamas.
Right, and for Klay, it's more than just playing for Team Bahamas. It is playing for family, right? It is coming back and playing for family.
And all of his interviews, he's always said, my father never got the opportunity to play. Mm-hmm. My father is one of the greatest players ever in Bahamian basketball history, right? I want to be able to, you know, live up to that legacy.
Yeah.
You know, or at least represent that legacy as a part of Team Bahamas at the international level.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate he didn't get to do it this time around, but he's 34, he's getting up there in age. Hopefully he could be around for next Olympic cycle. But in 2028, he's going to be 38. You know, I mean, we could still use his veteran leadership.
Without a doubt.
But I'm sure he would have liked to contribute towards the team's success this year, probably playing in Spain. That might have put us over the top.
Mr. Johnson?
You know, one of the things that intrigues me about basketball, especially at that level, there was a time when American collegiate players was good enough to compete. Mm-hmm. Because at the level they were playing at were more dominant than globally, even globally.
Mm-hmm.
So they was able to be successful. And then they realized that the rest of the world has somewhat caught up.
It's caught up, yep.
Which meant that the collegiate players were no longer good enough to compete.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of reasons, which I would explain. One, the age factor. You were playing against men while these collegians were 16, 17, you know, just trying to come into their own, to mature, and they were playing against 27, 28, 30-year-olds, which, you know, was not the best thing for them at that point in time. Now, if my understanding is somewhat correct, there may, because of the stage of basketball in the U.S., almost everybody who plays basketball would like to gravitate there at some point in time in their life, basketball life. That being the case, when we look at a country, you may have an exceptional world-class basketball player, but you don't have a team close enough that would be able to compete at the Olympics.
Yes.
So you put that world-class basketball player at a disadvantage because out of, use a figure, 30, 40 million people, you can't find 10 good enough to create a team that could compete at an Olympic level. So don't deny him to play for some countries that offers him that opportunity.
Yeah, that is, that is, and that's the conversation throughout, I'd say, the colonies, right? Mm-hmm. There's tension between playing for self and playing for state, and whether they're separate, right? In the athlete's mind, playing for self is also playing for state, because whenever I succeed, I put my country on the map. Mr. Stanley Mitchell, I mean, it's the one of the conversations, like, I want to have him here for every week, which is the tension between fielding athletes in the international domain and fielding teams
locally,
in local teams in the international domain, right? And it's a beautiful tension to have. And we need to talk about it more so that we can allow the solutions, right, to naturally evolve or arise from the conversations. Like I said, I think it's a beautiful space. I have a text here that says, hey, Erin, CC and the Indiana Fever has beaten three of the female Olympic members so far this season. But I think, Mr. Johnson, you sort of responded to that perfectly, which is one player doesn't make a team.
Exactly.
You know, one player doesn't make a team. And even with the examples of Jordan and LeBron, as time passes and more former players are in front of mics talking about their experience, we could see that the contributions of teammates have not necessarily been properly tabulated in an effort to paint an image about a superstar. We see people like Pippen and Rodman, whose legacies are basically discarded because... Well, there ain't no Jordan, but there would be no Jordan without a Pippen or a Rodman, is my argument. The same thing with LeBron. Longley is telling me it would be no LeBron without an AD.
Well, I ain't go that far. LeBron's legacy, his legacy is set. You know, in my view, still the second greatest ever behind Michael Jordan. You know, I'll give him that honor.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we should be mindful of too, from time to time, is that because of the depth of the talent pool in the United States, it's not easy to choose 12 players that can put their ego aside and play for their teammate.
Absolutely.
That's not always easy.
That's true. Yeah.
That's not always easy.
In that same respect, I mean, there's no excuse to leave somebody like a Jaylen Brown.
Well, that is true, too. Let's go to
the phone line. Good morning.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Yeah, I think, you know, we need to look at what's playing in the background.
Okay.
Okay, you know, Caitlin Clark became a millionaire before she even stepped on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it was, $28 million?
Something spectacular like that.
Okay, but see, I think, you know, the problem is the sports companies, including Nike, they don't want the market thing to change. And this girl is a disruptive force. Okay?
Yes.
I know, I think it all comes down to money and marketing.
Okay.
You know, and in Caitlin's case, she is a marketing nightmare for anybody, for any company now that is seeking any company that, you know, is going to go up against her. Now, even though she is a single player.
Okay, you know, I understand.
No, obviously, where she has brought Indiana from, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where she has brought Indiana from needs to be recognized.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, you know, and they are probably headed for the playoffs.
Well, you be talking that talk, and my Jonquel Jones out there doing it big, sir. I don't like them talks.
No. She, and you know, after the NBA All-Star game,
yes,
a lot of stuff is going to be settled in terms of what Clark can do, you know, especially if her and Angel Reese work together on the same team.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, caller.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to transition to the WNBA All-Star game weekend, actually, this weekend. But before that, Mr. Longley, just in case you have to dash, here's a text, I think, in your domain. The mixed team won the B final based on the time they ran. How does that compare to the times run by the teams in the A final? And for the A teams, did they run their best? The texter goes on to say, I recall a few years ago and locally, a top male runner was left off the relay team under some controversy. But at that time, there were some concerns about the player's ability to, quote, concentrate, close quotes, on the race. We can understand that. What we can't understand is this person didn't run a qualifying time, but this is a quote, reward, close quotes, for them running. I think I'm going to just reiterate again. The B3As has a set of rules that they are bound by when they make their recommendation to the BOC. Mm-hmm. Now, what we need now is to determine what is the criteria the BOC uses, or is there a specific criteria that they are bound to, a set of procedures that they are bound to make the decision? I think it's unfair.
There is none. There
right.
is none.
Right.
At least not when it comes to track and field. They rely on our intel.
Okay.
To let them know what is going on in track and field. We're the experts in track and field.
Right.
They govern Olympic sports.
Right.
So they rely on us to select national teams based on our rules and regulations
right.
and our criteria.
But they're not bound by your decision.
They don't have to.
Okay.
But they should. They should.
And that's a recommendation, again, from the B3As, that that should be the standard.
Yes, indeed.
Is there a space, a formal space, for this dialogue to continue? And would the public have access to that?
Anytime you have two major sports bodies with great minds at the top, you know, there's always going to be conflicting ideas, you know. And, you know, there's going to be personnel who might not agree to certain things, right? So all you ask for is constructive conversations between both bodies, you know, to get the best teams out there for Team Bahamas. Right?
Absolutely.
We understand that the country was emotional about Shania.
Mm-hmm.
We were as well. You know, we appreciate efforts, you know, and it was actually our recommendation from the beginning for her to go to Paris as a guest and for the third place, for the top three to be the official team members for the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
right? Now they are with us, Kathy being the guest and Shania being on the team as an alternate, well, on the official team. We wanted it the other way around. That was always our recommendation from the beginning.
I get you. Absolutely. Okay, we are at the 7-minute mark. Let's run through some of these other headlines today. Mr. Duncan, our boy, Bimini native Valdez, VJ Edgecombe Jr., is still doing it big. He is being named the Allen Iverson National High School Player of the Year today.
It's a star. Absolute star.
The Allen Iverson National High School Player of the Year today. Right? He has also won the Gatorade New York Boys Basketball Player of the Year in back-to-back years, this year and last year. He's going to Baylor University. He just left Long Island Lutheran. He was selected to be a part of the 2024 McDonald's All-American Game back in April. He put his skills on display at the 25th Nike Hoop Summit as well, representing Team World. And of course, he was an instrumental and integral part of the 2024 FIBA Olympic qualifying tournament this summer in Spain. Okay, so it's WNBA All-Star weekend time. Cheryl Miller to coach WNBA All-Stars, led by Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Let me rewrite that title. Led by Jonquel Jones, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Versus Team USA. Cheryl Miller is going to be the coach for the All-Stars, will lead the All-Stars against Team USA, which will be coached by Minnesota Lynx head coach Cheryl Reeve. That game is Saturday at 8:30 p.m. on ABC. On Team USA is Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, Ajay Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young, Diana Taurasi, Kalia Cooper, Brittany Griner. Brittany Griner still playing basketball?
Still playing.
Boy, she have a nasty dunk, buddy. Nafisa Collier, Alyssa Thomas, and Jewel Lloyd. They'll be the favorites given the overall talent and experience throughout the roster. They were picked to represent the U.S. at the Paris Games for a reason. Mm-hmm. On the All-Star team, we've got Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Aaliyah Boston, Kelsey Mitchell, Jonquel Jones, Brianna Jones, Dewana Bona, Alicia Gray, Derica Hamby, Kayla McBride, Nanika Ogwemike, and Arika Ogunbowale. I can practice them proper.
You get up before this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. I can be shouting something at the TV this weekend. We want to say congratulations to Jonquel. Again, Caitlin was not put on the U.S. Olympic team, but I think proper recognition is given by putting her on the All-Star team. I think that's sufficient.
I think it was borderline with Caitlin, right?
Yeah.
Once again, it's a selection-based process, you know, just like the men's team. And, you know, you would have to ask yourself, is Caitlin one of the 12 best players in the United States?
Right. I don't think so.
No.
And I think in terms of fire and driving momentum on the court, Angel Reese would have been a better choice, would be a better choice than Caitlin.
It could be a battle between those two for rookie of the year.
Now,
that's for sure.
Driving driving people to the TV to watch the game may be Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
But on the court, Angel got that fire.
She got that fire.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and on that same note, I mean, you could ask yourself, is Diana Taurasi one of the 12 best players in the U.S.? But she's on the team.
True.
Right? I mean, she was in her day. She was a superstar in her day. But she's not that same player anymore.
True.
You know, so, you know, it's selection base. You know, she's left off. Caitlin's left off. You know, Diana's on. But they're going to win the gold.
Jonquel.
The U.S. is going to win the gold.
Jonquel can't play, hey, because she's Bosnian, right?
She's playing for Bosnia. You know?
Yeah.
I still hope that she would one day, you know, help out more here at home locally.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to playing for the Bosnian national team, you know, we still recognize her as an outstanding being, you know, there playing basketball. And she's doing her thing. You know, she's she might not be having one of her better seasons in the WNBA, but she is still a force, and she's still one of the better players in the league.
What do you mean she ain't having one of her better? This one
in terms of her numbers. In terms of her numbers.
But she's still doing really well.
She had a career high this year.
Yeah, and in fact,
against the Aces.
Yeah, and
you know, which proves that she could still do it. She's still playing at a high level.
As of 2 weeks ago, the Liberty were 15-1 when she scored double-double.
Yes.
Right? And so when she's on fire.
And they have the best record in the league now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I meant in terms of averages this season.
Yeah, true.
You know, averages are down a bit.
But she's also going to be in the three-point competition, I think, for the second year in a row. So you guys, this weekend, WNBA All-Star Weekend, we got to support Jonquel, Caitlin, and Angel. Because I want you all to understand, that's a marketing ploy. You can't have a Caitlin without Angel. Caitlin needs, it's the rivalry that's driving her up, right? That's like you can't have a Smokey without a Bandit.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
I'm fine, thank you. And good morning again to my good friend, the Lonely.
Hey, good morning, brother.
All is well.
All is well.
You ought to know that the United States has never in their history taken the best 12 to play the Olympics on the basketball roster. That has never happened.
You could argue 1992, the Dream Team being the best. You could argue the Redeem Team being the best.
Kristen Leiter was on that team.
Well, yeah, that is true. That is true.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, they have never done it.
Well, they had to make space for one collegiate player. Don't forget, there was 11 NBA players and one collegiate player.
Yeah, but they have never taken the 12 by Isaiah Thomas was left off.
What about the Redeem Team with Kobe, LeBron, and Wade and the rest of those guys?
Even then, they would always leave players on. Some players just don't go, not selected. And sometimes it has to do with exactly what happened to Dream Team. Some players, we may not hear about it, just don't want to play with other players.
Mm-hmm. In fact,
that
I think
happens a lot.
Stern told Magic Johnson if he wanted a slot on the Olympic team, he had to go and convince Michael Jordan and Larry Bird to come play with him as well.
Well, Jordan said if Isaiah Thomas is going to be on the team, he's not going to play.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Okay, so that's the first point. The second point I want to make before I go is this. Caitlin Clark is going to win Rookie of the Year, hands down.
It
would not even be close.
No, man. Angel Reese
is not close to the production that Clark is producing.
I agree with that.
Now, mind you, in terms of marketing, in terms of seats, in terms of television channels, you know, televisions tuned in, maybe she can't drive it, but Caitlin can't do what she doesn't have that presence without Angel Reese. Like I say, this is like Smokey and the Bandit.
But Angel just had a WNBA rookie record, 15 straight consecutive double doubles. You know, she's
out. Yeah, they double doubles. That don't mean nothing. Caitlin Clark has just set the record for assists.
Well, listen, when I don't think I can hit, I can pass the ball too.
Both of them setting records. Both of them generate.
19 assists.
But you can't underscore a double double. A double double is a double double.
Caller, this is the best tension. This is the best tension ever.
And 19 assists is 19 assists.
That's only one game, though. That's only. Over 15 straight games, a double double. That's impressive.
And she has had many assists, many double doubles herself.
She's having a great season. Absolutely. But I think it's on par.
Thank you.
I have a higher scoring average.
Thank you, Caller.
And it's a better shooter.
Absolutely. Thank you, caller. We all out of time. I still got to read a couple headlines. I just want to say this thing here. What I appreciate is the WNBA players now, I think, see the marketing ploy, see the media trying to drive a racial tension between Caitlin and Angel for numbers, for money. And I think that the WNBA players, especially the veterans, realize that, yes, we're going to play tough, but we should not allow that tough and rough interaction. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't allow the media, right, to be able to use that and drive their own narrative. And you see veterans coming like, yeah, I knock you down, but my job is to pick you up after I knock you down, right? Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. So just quickly, Team USA roster, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, Jrue Holiday, LeBron James, Jason Tatum and Derek White. Okay, headlines just before we go. Producer JJ to participate in WNBA 3-point contest. The Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets basketball tournament is heading towards championship weekend. This is year 29. We say congratulations to the Hope Center for sustaining that. It's also a busy weekend for the Bahamas Football Association. Under 15 girls will be playing at the A.L. Davies Field, July 19th through July 21st, and then the boys will be playing as well. I think today is a full weekend of soccer. The most important story of the day, I want you to get your paper, go online, Special Olympics Wall of Fame. Gilbert Williams, president of Special Olympics Bahamas, says, look here, we're going to create our own Wall of Fame if the sporting world will not recognize the contributions of the Special Olympians in the Bahamas. They should be, as he says,
shout out to Gilbert, the
Lyndon Pinellon Airport, the Walk of Fame at the Thomas A. Robinson Stadium, and the National Sports Hall of Fame. They were phenomenal in Berlin this year. They reintroduced national bocce championships as well, and they participated in the regional bocce tournament with individual silver from Crystal Clark and a bronze from Colette Grant, and they won a bronze in the doubles competition. And then we say congratulations to Austin for silver in bowling at the Special Olympics World Games.
Wow.
Austin Green, and to Bronson Arena, who combined with Austin Green for a silver in doubles.
Wow.
Special Olympians. We don't give them...
We got the best Special Olympians in the world.
Yeah, we don't give them enough play at all. First annual baseball summer camp kicks off July 16th to August 2nd. The Elite Eight, the Bahamas Optimist Dinghy Association, they send in Finley McKinney Lambert, Patrick Tomlinson, Javian Rankine, Callum Pritchard, Michael Knowles, Tyron McKinney Lambert, Leon Zarkan. They send in them to the International Optimist Dinghy North American Championships 2024, July 13th through 20th in Puerto Rico. And then we want to say congratulations to Eliza Denning and Norman Cartwright, who will be representing the Bahamas at the 2024 Youth Sailing World Championships. And then again, congratulations, LaCarthia Cooper, congratulations, okay? Shania Adley, congratulations. VJ, babe, go to bed on time. You're just burning too much energy. Congratulations, you guys. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Again, producer, I know you're mad at me. Let me just repeat Mr. Johnson's contact information. Nolan Johnson, njohnsonsr@gmail.com, 4689187. All my Androsians in the diaspora, reach out and reach back to the big yard. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Mr. Duncan, thank you. I can see you next week.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Mr. Sawyer, I need you to come in the studio so I could have my Rowan team all in one place at the same time. You guys, Mr. Longley, thank you.
Anytime.
Safe travel. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.